Terabytes is for informational and educational purposes only. Nothing on the show is advice. No financial, tax, legal, or any other kind of advice. Nothing we say is an inducement to make a particular investment, follow a particular strategy, buy a particular NFT, or play any PDE particular game. Anything you invest in is at your own risk. Do your own research and consult with professionals. Good morning, everybody here on the East Coast in the U.S. Good evening, I guess, everybody in Europe, and it's late night over in Asia. How's everybody doing today? We have a special guest with us today. We're going to do a little AMA, a little live action. We have the project manager from Legends of Terra. Legends of Terra actually is a finalist. They won the One Planet NFT competition, One Planet being the latest and greatest NFT marketplace in the Terra ecosystem. And Legends of Terra has built a and is currently still building a play-to-earn game, a card game. We're going to dive into all that. So if you have any questions, please feel free to leave them in the chat. I also have my friend Eli. Eli, give the camera a wave.
Hello, it's me, Eli, from Terabytes. Thank you.
Eli's here from Terra Crumb, so it's a bit of a crossover. But Hades, sir, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. And yeah, need to start with you. Thank you very much for the invitation. It's an honor for me to be here. And oh, before we move on, yeah, sorry for my video. Yeah, I think my iPhone is like not working at the last minute, so at least my AirPod is working, so I can talk.
Perfect. That's awesome. Well, we have non-video participants all the time on the show, so not a big deal. Anyway, let's dive right into it. Tell me, Haiti, about Legends of Terra. Give me a high-level overview of what you guys are building.
Sure. Yeah. So Legends of Terra is basically like NFT or blockchain version of Hearthstone. Or like Magic the Gathering, if you're more familiar with that. And if you don't know what Hearthstone or Magic the Gathering is, it's just like a card game, like board game where players like choose cards and submit some cards into an order and compete. So this is basically a flagship game of Legends of Terra Metaverse, which we are going in the future. So it will basically offer like two unique features or advantages over other play-to-earn games. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that like you've heard of like so many to earn games nowadays after like Axie Infinity. And even though I'm pretty sure you know that there are like two great projects already very famous, Faction and Derby Stars, who did like minting on One Planet yesterday. So we try to like, you know, differentiate ourselves from like the other projects. So we offer two things. The first one is like pick to earn, where like not only players, but also investors can, you know, participate. And the next one is like the one NFT multi-use. And I'm pretty sure we are going to discuss that more in detail, basically deep dive.
Cool. So you said it's like Hearthstone and Magic, two games that I have never played. But so for someone like me, how would I kind of get involved with Legends of Terra and get NFTs and kind of fun stuff like that?
Sure. Yeah, that's a good point. So, you know, like, so after we started developing this, we realized that like this, you know, table card game is kind of niche market, even within the gamer community. So, you know, like, let's say the whole population is, let's say, 100, and the gamer population, maybe, let's say, 20 to 30. And even among them, the players who enjoy card games could be, let's say, 3 to 4. So we are basically targeting some like very small group of you know, enthusiasts. But if you think about like who's in crypto, so at least for now, like people who are in crypto are kind of minorities yet. So I think this area is yet to develop, and we are looking forward to, you know, we are looking forward to mass adoption. And going back to your original question, which means like if someone doesn't want to play or doesn't know how to play, then can someone actually join, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so let me see. So if you, let's say, let me just compare it to the sports. Like, what's your favorite sports?
Baseball.
Baseball. Okay, sure. So yeah, I'm a baseball fan too. So I'm going to use some analogy with baseball. But for now, yeah, let's think about this. Let's say there's a person who doesn't even know how to play baseball. Well, I mean, and he or she doesn't even know the rules for baseball. So even if they got a ticket for World Series, they cannot really enjoy it, right? But in some sense, they can bet on, you know, the outcome, right? So let's say there's World Series between, what's your favorite team?
The Yankees.
Oh, New York Yankees. Okay. And let's say Boston Red Sox. And let's say this person can bet on it. Like, let's say, oh, my cool friend is like New York Yankees fan, so I'm going to bet on it. And or if someone's really rich, maybe they can think of like, oh, maybe I'm going to buy, you know, buy, let's say, New York Yankees if someone's really rich. So in this card game, as an investor, you can buy some cards. So obviously, if you know more about the game or more about the cards, it would be better for you to, how can I say, it would be more, with more probability, you can buy good cards and maybe expecting some more, like, you know, upside. But you can participate by some buying stuff or like, if you don't really know, like, what cards will be the good ones, you can buy the stadium. So if you think about the baseball game, like, let's say you don't even know which team's gonna be really good, then you just buy a stadium. Let's say you like real estate in New York, NYC, and you just buy like Yankee Stadium. So, I mean, obviously in the real world, it'll be really expensive, right? But in this, like, you know, at least for now, like for our game, those arena NFTs and the card NFTs is much affordable, especially when Luna is going up. So hopefully, we hope that other lunatics, like including the ones who haven't really played card games, can, you know, join our ecosystem or join our community by buying some, you know, some like small NFTs.
Interesting. So you mentioned that there's like arena or stadium NFTs was the analogy you used. Let's stick with the baseball analogy then maybe. So if I buy Yankee Stadium or buy like an arena NFT, what's the benefit for that for me? Am I earning some sort of income or some sort of take from every game that's played within my arena?
Sure. Yeah, that's basically you explained my answer. So yeah, you are getting some income from this. So I guess like my job is to, well, so the general concept is pretty clear, right? So if you own a stadium or battleground or arena, like whatever you call it. So basically if you get a map, then you get some earnings from that area. So yeah, let's stick with the baseball analogy. So let's say you own Yankee Stadium, then if World Series is going to happen there, then there will be like lots of ticket revenue, right? And I'm pretty sure you're going, well, I don't really know the exact breakdown for the MLB, but so let's say for us, whenever a game is played, and there will be some winnings, right? Because it's like play to earn games. So let's say the winning is 100. Then the winning player gets 45.
Mm-hmm.
So in the baseball case, New York Yankees wins, then they get 45. Among the remaining 55, 45 goes to the supporters or investors. So investors or the, you know, bettors who betted on like New York Yankees winning will get 45. And gotcha. Lastly, so there's a remaining 10%, right? And that goes to the stadium or arena NFT holders. So it really depends on like how many games will be played on your stadium. So, well, frankly speaking, like, I haven't really catching up the MLB stuff, but I'm pretty sure Yankee Stadium will be one of the most expensive ones. And the other ones with like, you know, lower probabilities of having World Series will be cheaper than Yankee Stadium. So
right. Well, we know at least just the lounge area of the Washington National Stadium is $40 million over 5 years. So we can get some idea of pricing out there for baseball stadiums. But I guess my next question then to follow that up with is who decides what arena you're playing in? I mean, you want to like if I want to play in one arena and I'm playing against Eli and he wants to play in another one, how do we determine where it's actually going to take place?
Very good point. So we are actually in the game development stage. So nothing is like written on stone yet, but this is our idea. So let's say player one. So there are five maps. And player one chooses like two favorites. Let's say he chooses like arena one and two. And the player two chooses, let's say, 1 and 3, then there's one common, you know, choice, right? Arena 1. Then that will be the playing ground. So if you think about this, if your map is desired by more players, it is more likely to be played, and more earnings are expected. So, right. I mean, this is really like, you know, further step, but we are expecting like sub-DAO in our ecosystem. So sub-DAO means that there will be a DAO of like our, you know, Legend of Terra community members, but there will be sub-DAO where each, you know, stadium or arena NFT holders will be the DAO members. So they're going to vote on like the advantage or disadvantages that their stadiums may offer, then which may attract more players to play on their playground, which will lead to their benefit. So, and you are going to ask like, then the next question would be like, oh, what happens if there's like no, you know, overlapping choices or like too many overlapping choices? Let's say if someone chooses like 1 and 2 and the opponent chooses 1 and 2, and there will be like two common choices, or like player 1 chooses 1 and 2 and player 2 chooses 3 and 4, then there's no, you know, common choices. In that right. case, you know, I think you can guess the answer. The you know, benevolent random god will choose where to play.
Yeah, it's given me a big time like Call of Duty lobby vibes almost, where you get, how many selections do you get usually? Like 2, and then everybody votes in the lobby on which map they want to play. I think that'd be pretty cool. So you brought up two things you at the beginning here. One of the ones that you mentioned was the one NFT multi-use. And we have a graphic. So we pulled this graphic, our trusty intern Steph pulled this graphic, where you can basically combine something within your game with in this case, a Galactic Punk, which exists in another ecosystem or in the same ecosystem, but it's a whole other NFT, right? Whole different use case, whole different community. So how does this work? This is pretty interesting.
Yep. Oh yeah. By the way, thank you very much for bringing up that photo, because I was thinking of like, how can you say, providing that picture myself, and you just brought in the perfect moment. So I think that picture very basically explains like the feature we are, you know, developing, which is like getting outside NFT and use it on your card. So give me a sec. So how can I explain this? So let me start from the left part. So this is the Hades Gold Legendary card, which is the most precious card in our system. There's only like 4 in the server. So so you really like this card, but you know, I mean, so this card will have certain features. Well, let's say this card has like certain attack, certain defense, and certain skills. You like that. But let's say you don't really like the face. So in that case, you're like, and we all know that there are like so many other NFTs we already have and we already love. Let's say, well, here I think we use like Galactic Punk one, because that's the one. But I mean, you can use like other NFTs, let's say, you know, Luna Bulls and, you know, so on. There are so many like NFTs we have. And if you want to combine them, well, technically there will be some process, like whether that they're going to, we are going to check like whether you are the owner of these NFTs, so that we need to confirm that like you are not basically using someone else's, right? But after those like technical processes, and there will be some fees for that, but like fees like in our, you know, in-game currency or native token, which will be burned during the process. But after that, so let's say from user's point of view, like you just bring in your favorite card and you bring in your favorite NFT and like click the combine button, and that picture will be on your card. So that's the how can you say it? That's the right part. But keep in mind that it only changes the graphics or the front end. So basically, it's basically changing your profile picture from, let's say, Luna Bulls to Galactic Punk, or Galactic Punk to Luna Bulls on Twitter. But it doesn't mean that like your Twitter account is changed, right? So it's just the appearance. So the characteristics or abilities or like the attributes remain the same, but the front end or skin for gamers is changed. And well, for non-gamers, maybe this wouldn't be that important, but for gamers, let's say if you play, what would be the thing? League of Legends, then they sell so many skins because like gamers want like different looks or unique looks or their favorite looks, and we know such desire, so we want to give our community members the opportunity to use their favorite NFTs instead of the generic design. So I hope this answers your question, but let me know if you have any like further issues with this.
I thought that sounded good. So I do have another question, kind of like on a maybe a lower level. What if like in a year or two, or right now, I decide that I want to start playing. But then when I join a game, I buy a deck. I play someone and they are much better than I am, and I get absolutely crushed. And then I do that again, and I do that again. I keep on getting beat. Is there any sort of like skill-based matchmaking? Or a way to put people in similar levels in Legends of Terra.
Because
Man,
Eli's
that's
afraid
very
I'm going to
great.
crush
And
him at this game.
just to check, do you guys play like other games at least? It seems that like how games work, or maybe you play like chess or something.
I play a few games. I dabble in Fortnite.
In any games or any sport, there's like advanced players or experienced players and so-called like new players or newbies. And it's kind of brutal to like match newbies with like one of the veterans. So, and nobody wants to lose every single time. And at the same time, like not that many people want to beat like newbies. So they want like how can you say worthy opponent. So to prevent that, how can you say we are not really developing a new system. Just we are just importing the existing system from other computer games or like even in chess. So for the chess match, there's like MMR or matchmaking rating, or in computer games, well, it's StarCraft too. So for example, so let's say your ladder score or ladder level is let's say 2,000, then you are going to get matched someone with the like similar rating. So when you click on the like battle button on our game, then the system will automatically search for the opponent with the similar rating. So and if we win, then your rating will go up, and if you lose, then your rating will go down. So eventually, let's say you lose like 5 times in a row, then your rating goes to like let's say 1,500, then you are going to meet like how can you say not that good players now, and it's more likely that you are going to win. Well, it's the opposite too. So if you win like several times, then you are going to be like real good players, so you're going to lose eventually. So this is the pretty standard setting for the games, and I think we are going to implement one more feature. So what I just told you is basically based on like play human versus human, right? But we realized that for many games, at least for the initial stage, there are not that many players with similar skill. And they are not online at the same time too, right? So let's say there are like total like 1,000 players, and about 100 players are like about your equal let's say skill level, but only like two or three are online at the specific time. In that case, you are going to be like someone like basically, you are going to have a very limited opportunity to meet someone with, like, how can you say, as a worthy opponent. So we are so our solution for now is that we are developing a bot or like robot or AI. So if you cannot find someone with similar matchmaking rating, then the after like let's say 30 seconds or 1 minute of searching, then you are going to play with our bot, which is designed to be, challenging enough, but you can eventually beat them. So this is basically like incorporating both PvP and PvE. But Yeah, well, long story short, you're going to meet worthy opponents based on the your matchmaking system. And if the system cannot find you a good one, then they're going to give you a bot which is designed for your skill level. Hope this answers your question.
Yeah, for sure, definitely.
And what are people winning? I mean, this whole game is based on play to earn. And we've seen some of the other games in the ecosystem, people earn either the native token, sometimes people earn even UST. What's the token model and the earning model look like for this game?
Yeah, that's a very good point. So since we are like we are basically P2E game, so it's very important to see what you're earning, yeah, as you just mentioned. So give me a second. Yeah, so like again, I think we are going to copy the successful model, which is like XE or Splinterlands or some other P2E games. So whenever a player wins, going to earn some in-game currency, let's say gold, or in other games or whatever. Let's say if you win, you are going to win gold, and there will be some like special tournaments and some and like season and like how to say monthly seasons. So for each season there will be like top players or top rankers, and so those top rankers or the tournament winners will be rewarded our governance token as well. So there's like two types of tokens. So if you are familiar with X Infinity, XE token or AXS is governance token, and Love Potion or SLP is the in-game currency. So when you play a game, you are going to win in-game currency, and when you win some, basically some achievement, tournament, or like high ranker on the season, you are going to get governance token. We think this is a better way to, reward players because, for basically when you play game, what is kind of daily or hourly like activity, you do it like very frequently, then you are going to win some in-game currency. But for such big achievements like tournaments or the season ladder winnings, we want to reward those players, and we want those players to be our, to participate in our DAO or the governance. And that's why we are going to give them some governance token, because like those players are the, how can I say, most active members of our community. And I think it's better for us to, in the long run, that if we have them under like basically our council, it'll be better for our community to grow and represent like gamers, intentions.
Very cool. So can you kind of talk about the gameplay a little bit? Like, will it be more like Magic the Gathering where I'm actively putting out cards, or will it kind of just auto do it for you? What kind of, yeah, and then also like, what are the, like, can you talk about maybe the different attributes of the cards? And that's kind of two questions wrapped into one.
Sure. Yeah. Man, are you sure that you haven't really played those card games? You know very well about these card games.
I used to watch people play
So.
these card games. Let's put it that way. And then I also.
Oh, okay. Oh, so like how these card games work. Okay. So compared to like the Magic: The Gathering or Hearthstone, our game is kind of much more simplified version. So the major difference is, so let me start with the Hearthstone. So in that case, you prepare your deck. They call it deck, which is like the set of cards, let's say 20 or 30 cards in advance. And when the match starts, randomly they're going to get some cards, and their players are supposed to do some actions like turn by turn, like put some cards on and attack something or defend something, whatever. And it's kind of similar in Magic: The Gathering too. So players are taking turns by some rules, so they are actively making some decisions after choosing their initial set. For our case, it's kind of different. So when they prepare their deck or the set of cards, then that's it. There are not no further, how can you say, no further actions required or no further actions possible after choosing the deck. So when you make a deck and submit it, and that's it. The how can you say, the based on certain rules, the game will be played, And I mean, you can watch how the game unfolds, but the result is basically already decided. So why we chose this route? I think you are going to ask this question. So the problem or the issue with those like Magic: The Gathering or Hearthstone is that it's just too long, and people are getting impatient nowadays. So for our system, in our system, expected play time for each match is about like 2 to 3 minutes. So because like there will be certain conditions, and basically you start with choosing arena like battleground, and you choose formation, and you choose your cards, and you submit it. That's it. It's done. And when your opponent does the same, then you're going to see the like battle screen, which is automated, and you're going to see who won, who wins basically. But if you how can I say, if we design this game to be played like Hearthstone, it's gonna take like at least 20 minutes for each game, because like there will be like 2 or 3 minutes of card selection, and player one choose do some action, and if that's gonna take a minute, and player two does something, that's gonna take another minute. So nowadays, I think there's more demand or for users to play like quick games, like play, let's say you have like 30, 20 minutes to play while going to work, and instead of playing one game of Hearthstone, which may take more than 20 minutes, you'd rather play like very quick game of Legend of Terra, and you play first game using 2 minutes, and you win. And you play another game, so you can play like let's say at least 5 games on your way to work, or going back home. So we want to make really short but enjoyable game, and this one is actually better for the blockchain game too, because like another well, this could be like too technical, but if we put those like game results in, or gamers' actions on blockchain, there could be some issues of front running. So I mean, this could be like, well, this is just a possibility, but we want to prevent that in a sense that, so there will be some, bots or some computer programs that can detect which cards will come up as a random for the next card. So in, when you play Magic: The Gathering, you don't really know which card it's going to be the next one. But if for the, blockchain game, if you see certain hashes, then you're able to see, oh, the next card will be, let's say, Spade A. Then that person is having like unfair advantage, and we want to prevent that. But if we are going to put this game on blockchain, it's kind of impossible. So that for that technical reason, we are just doing it for the deck selection stage, and after that, it's just automatic. Well, so I think I rambled too much about these technical details. So let me stop here. And did I answer the first half of your question?
Absolutely, absolutely, you did, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sorry for rambling like unnecessary details. I should have stopped it. But I was thinking of we were like discussing this for a while, and it just came up to my mind. And could you remind me the second half of your question, sorry? So was it
Well,
like
yeah, so
the
Kind of like, what are the attributes of the cards, and are there different kind of like
Oh.
rankings of cards? Like, kind of how did that
Oh,
how does that work?
sure. Ah, okay. That's a very great point. Great point. Thank you. Yeah. So, I mean, if you have like NFTs, let me put in like NFT perspective. There are like different rarities, right? And we have like four rarities or tiers for the cards. So the in term in the first one is legendary. That sounds very good, right? So that's the most rare card, and next tier is epic. Next, so legendary, epic, rare, and common. So these four tier system is kind of very like standard in this industry or the card games. So usually those legendary cards or the epic cards are stronger than the common and rare cards. I mean, otherwise they why would it be the legendary? But when you play game, it's not necessarily how can I say guaranteed winning if you have legendary cards. So legendary cards will cost more. So you can think of this like Oh, going back to baseball analogy, you can think of this as a salary cap. So in this case, we call it the post cap or mana cap. So let's say the mana cap is 10 and the legendary cards cost like 5. Then you can only use like 2 legendary cards. But let's say and the mana cost for the rare card is 2, then you can use like 5 rare cards. And in many cases, 5 rare cards will win 2 legendary cards. So, I mean, so higher rank cards is likely to be stronger than the lower rank cards, but there will be, mana cost cap. So it's essential for players to like combine those like strong cards and the weak cards to get better combination. And obviously, like there will be more, complication using the, attack types or the skills, but that's like too complicated for now. So let me just sum it up in a sense that so there will be 4 rarity levels, and the higher rarity ones will be stronger, but that doesn't guarantee winning.
Cool. Awesome.
Gotcha. We got a question coming in from the live viewers over on YouTube. This is from Doodle. What kind of in-game aspects will be
Yay.
recorded on chain?
That's very good point. Oh, you know what? Like, so we are still debating, and that's why, like, when we reached somewhere there, like, I started like giving too much unnecessary information or technical details. So we are actually thinking about that. So initially, like, as a blockchain game, we were thinking like we should put everything on blockchain. And with the card game, it's possible. So if let's say if you're playing like something like Player Unknowns like Battleground or like some shooter games, it's impossible, right? There's like just too much data and blockchain speed cannot follow that. Same for like StarCraft. So if you play like real-time games, it's impossible to use blockchain. Well, at least for the current speed. But for our card game, in theory it's possible because everything is kind of static. Because like, well, think about it. So the information we need to put on blockchain is like who are matched, let's say player one and player two info. And the next part is like which arena is chosen, let's say stadium one. And the next part is like which cards they've chosen. So it's kind of very limited set of information. So I'm pretty sure Terra blockchain can handle this. And the next part is like whether we want this. So we've thought about this, and if we can prevent those like front running issue, then we are going to do this. But we haven't really found one, and we actually talked to some of the gamers, and they didn't really care about that. So what they cared about it is like their, how can you say, authority or the, how can you say, verification of their ownership, which can be done by, NFT automatically. So they don't really care about like whether, the details of the gameplay will be on blockchain. They just want to have, their, assets recorded on blockchain and their earnings recorded on blockchain. So for now, as a MVP stage or the initial stage, we are only going to put the information regarding asset ownership on blockchain. So it'll be something like this. When you mint or buy some NFT, it'll be on blockchain. I mean, it's not about game, it's just natural, right? So for the game itself, when the game is played, someone's like going to earn something, right? And that's gonna be on the blockchain. That's it for now. Yeah. If you have like any suggestion, like you can like ask further question here or ask us in like Twitter or Discord.
Excellent. And it sounds like we're not going to have like another Crypto Kitties episode here where the whole blockchain's getting clogged up with
Yay.
people minting their NFTs, although we haven't had that in a while. So before we wrap up here, Hades, let's talk timeline. When is the mint for PAX, and when can we expect gameplay to go live?
Very good point. So for the pet minting, so we already actually started our Genesis or Alpha pet minting a while ago, A while ago means a month ago. Wow. In crypto world, a month ago sounds like a year ago in everyday world. But the problem was, so we sold more than 4,000 packs, but we were actually, well, I think that is such a big achievement, and we certainly expect to sell more when, you know, this like bear market ends and Luna price going up. And when we do more marketing using this, you know, Terabyte interview or the One Planet landing event. And so the pack minting is also going on, but the main event for us now is One Planet NFT one. So we are focusing on that at this point. And I think you, and the next part of the question is about the, when the game will be available, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So we are focusing on, well, apart for the, these like, you know, interviews or AMAs. So our game team is fully focusing on getting the MVP ASAP. And we are expecting to have like internal alpha version testing on sometime this end of this quarter or the early next quarter. So in terms of month, it will be like March or April. So we already have some, you know, loyal supporters. We assign them as ambassadors, and we are going to test the game, game tech, how can I say, game mechanics with them. And we expect to have some like closed beta or open beta at the end of Q2. So yeah, I mean, obviously, like, you know, you've seen lots of crypto projects that they have some roadmap and they get delayed and delayed. And we want to keep on our roadmap, but yeah. So for now, we are expecting alpha version on the like, so it's February, mid-February, so in like two months.
Awesome. Well, we're very much looking forward to that. We appreciate you jumping on the show here, Hades. And what's the minting date for One Planet? When can we look forward to that?
Oh, you know, like that was the most important part, and I almost forgot about that. thank you for bringing that up. So, our minting date for the One Planet landing is just decided and announced, which it's like 23rd February, which is about a week from now, and yeah, so. We are doing lots of, you know, whitelisting or giveaway events. So please look for that. So the starting event is today, of course, the Terabyte interview. And we are going to do some other, you know, marketing events. So stay tuned. And we look forward to like expanding our community using this amazing opportunity.
Awesome. February 23rd, you heard it, folks. Head on over to oneplanetnft.io to get involved. And keep yourself in the loop here for some whitelisted opportunities. And I'm going to make Eli take us out on this episode. Eli, what are your last words?
Well, I mean, my last words is whenever I get my hands on a deck, Hades, I do challenge you, and I will beat you. It's factual. You know, it's not like a question.
Oh,
it's a fact. So I just want to let you know, it's not nothing personal.
Oh, you know, yeah, like, that, okay, it's that, that's my last personal, thought. Oh, good one. You know, I welcome all those challenges, and I will see you on Battlefield in 2 months.
Okay. Hey, guys. Thanks for watching. Like, subscribe. Have a great day. Bye. Oh, yeah, also, Katie, thanks for coming on. Those were really awesome.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for this amazing opportunity, and hope to see you later, especially on the battleground. Yay.
Of course. Of course. On the battleground.
Cheers.
All right. Bye-bye.
Cheers.